This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
This Day in History here on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you, my partner Armand Kachigian, as we bring you the events, the births, and the deaths of April 20th.
I have a death to report.
Really? Who?
Yeah, I broke up with the gal I've been dating.
Oh, no.
A death.
Oh, no.
Get a look. And you want to know, everybody loves to hear this.
I love your love life.
You want to know?
Can I just say?
Yeah. You want to know what we broke up over?
The bill at dinner.
Hell no, I paid, damn it. Yeah, I wish she'd broken up before I paid for the damn dinner. Cost $13 for pizza. So anyway.
Write it off your taxes as a show expense.
I'd like to get your opinion on this and our viewers, our listeners.
Listeners,
okay.
Armand, listeners.
And I hope eventually we'll get the pod cam going. But so anyway, we talked about considers very hurtful.
Oh, no. You brought
up. I said abortion. I think for... Don't you agree with this? Of course, it's hard for us. Maybe I'll bring it up on the Ocho Man
show.
You
brought it up.
We have women.
You brought it up.
Well,
on a date.
No, we were on. Well, I was in the bathtub. She was rinsing me off. And
oh boy.
My assertion is this. The government tells us everything we can do with our body. Isn't that the argument? Don't tell me what I can do with my body.
Yes.
Well, my argument was, they tell you can't sell your kidneys. That's against the law, right? You can't put them on eBay. So that's telling you. But my point is this. There wouldn't be that many abortions, if any, if you allowed women to put their babies up for adoption on eBay and sell them.
Well, maybe not necessarily eBay.
Or whatever. Yeah. And then she told me that's legal. I don't think that's legal. But anyway, the point.
Yeah, it's human trafficking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the point was, and let's assume it's legal, which I think she's wrong. I'm going to look it up. She says, that is legal. Okay, let's say it's legal.
I shop eBay a lot. I don't see children
I don't
sale.
Think it's legal that you can put an ad in the paper or anything. Saying, I'll carry your child to term for $50,000.
Oh, I think you have to go to some type of registered service.
Well, that's kind of what she said.
To be vetted.
Okay, but that's not what the argument was. Well, that started the argument. But my point is that – any woman, you bring the free market into it, any woman at a certain price is going to do this, right? That's all I said. And I looked at her, I said, let me tell you something. You're going to tell me for nothing. You're going to tell me if I offered you $5 million to have a baby, you wouldn't do it? I don't know. Any woman would do it at a certain price.
Some very principled people may not do it at any price.
Maybe. Okay, right.
Maybe.
There's always. But don't you think the vast majority, if you make the price right.
I will tell you something my father told me.
Yeah.
We are all, regardless of gender, prostitutes.
Yeah.
It's just a term of what price are we willing to do something.
Right.
He did not mean sex.
No.
He meant everybody will prostitute themselves.
Right. I've got a quote today.
At something,
we'll talk about that.
At some point.
Everybody has a price.
For the
except
price.
Except for suicide
because
or something like that.
It's the old adage. Would you have sex with Armand for $100? Are you kidding? No, would you have sex with him for $30,000? I'm not a prostitute.
Yeah, that's not what I am. He goes, no, we've already established
what you are.
Now we're looking for the price.
Yeah, we've already established.
Exactly. That's the old joke.
That's everyone, right?
Exactly.
I told that.
Of course it is.
I told
that
wrong.
At least I admit it. But that's we got in the heated argument.
But that's all of us.
No,
men, women.
No, she denied that. And then she said something to me, and she said something to the effect that, you know how hurtful you are saying things like that. And I was like, who did I hurt? I'm not hurting you.
Everybody, we all know
that's
it.
That's when I got my clothes on and left.
Everybody has a price.
So that's that. I deleted her phone number. I deleted her pictures.
Think of the price that people have paid to be around you. The emotional price.
Yeah, right. That's what I should have said. Look at the price you're paying for this sex. Exorbitant. No sane woman would do it.
$13.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, so that's that. All right, now we got that out of the way. I'll bring it. We'll go into further detail on Ocho Man.
Go check out Behind the Eight Ball, which Armand also is on. If you want more of Armand's pearls of wisdom with two fine ladies and John Okabinjian, who hosts the program. Behind the Eight Ball is also a a very intriguing podcast here at lineupmedia.fm.
Yeah, rather heated.
But today, we go to the events of April the 20th.
All right, you're a couple of centuries too far ahead.
That's
right
okay.
Right off the bat.
You start us off today with something of significance. What do you have?
Well, first of all, I've got Robert Blake's victory over the Spanish treasure fleet at Tenerife, the Battle of Tenerife, in 1657. I don't know why you admitted that.
Because 1653 is before 1657.
1653.
Yeah, Oliver Cromwell dissolved the Rump Parliament.
All right. Well, we'll go in.
But anyway, Tenerife,
Since we're talking about the British anyway.
Well, it's going to because this...
Okay, this kind of segues because... The Rump Parliament was what was left of the Parliament.
Right.
Rump being not an ass, but what's left behind.
Yeah, the remains, the dregs.
After Pride's Purge, which I think we've gone into detail on.
So Cromwell dissolves this, like you just said. He dissolves what's remaining on April the 20th, 1653.
Right.
Which is, we're in a tumultuous era for England here.
Yeah, well, Pride's Purge, which established the Rump Parliament, was because the army felt that they were getting a little too lenient with Charles I, who was at that time, I think,
he still
exiled.
Has his head.
Yeah, he's exiled on the Isle of Wight. Well, they're going to bring him back and say, hey, listen, we've taught the bastard a lesson.
Yeah.
Okay, we got him in line. Let's let him back. And the army said, no, we want power. Cromwell wanted power. So he purged all these members of Parliament that were getting a little too soft.
Mm-hmm.
So that we had the Rump Parliament. And Cromwell, of course, being kind of an egomaniac, although he wanted to be painted with the warts on. You know,
all warts
and all.
Warts and all.
Said, hell with that. What do we need the Parliament for? I'm going to take over. And there you go. Oliver Cromwell gets rid of all of them.
So then, fast forward.
Lord Protector.
4 years later.
Now, and this is a guy, this guy who...
This is Blake we're talking
Robert
about.
Robert Blake, not Mickey Gubitosi of our gang. Not that Robert Blake that, you know, killed his wife and got away with it.
Not Beretta.
Right. And sold Humphrey Bogart the winning ticket in Treasure of Sierra Madre. Not that Robert Blake, but the Admiral Robert Blake. You know, he intercepts a Spanish treasure fleet in Tenerife, which now we know what Tenerife is. That's where the Canary Islands, where the worst airline crash of all time happened.
Oh, that thing.
That was Tenerife.
You can see video of that.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you got the stomach for it. Speaking of video, another desultory comment. I watched that Aaron Pryor Arguello fight, which was, by the way, in 1982. We were debating.
Jeez, that was in the 80s?
82. And boy, what a fight.
Yeah.
They beat that. Something was a little goofy because Pryor was getting his ass kicked and looked like he was flagging. And he comes out to that 14th round. I think Panama put a little...
they got goju. There's no doubt.
Gave him a little spritzer or something in that water bottle.
A little
goju.
But
he came out and beat the crap out of him. But what a fight. Oh, check it out.
That's when every fight was good.
Yeah.
Hearns, Leonard.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Camacho.
Well, I think that's why we have MMA today, because boxing's so lame.
Man. God, they had it all right then.
Man, those guys were bombs.
They traded leather.
Anyway.
So back to Blake and the treasure fleet.
Yeah, he intercepts it, but unfortunately, they already unloaded all the treasure.
That's bad recon. That's bad intel.
Timing is everything, but it prevents it.
But this
treasure's on the Canary Islands, so they can't be used by the king of Spain.
The goal.
Yeah.
Is for the Brits to get it,
but it's still used
out on the island.
Right, but that's the second best thing because the King of Spain can't use it.
It's the second best thing,
anyway,
but
my
it's a long way from the best thing.
But this is not a big deal for Robert Blake. This guy's practically forgotten. This guy, he did more for the British. First of all, if it wasn't for him and blockading England from Count Rupert, who was the king's man, because this guy was a parliamentarian, and Cromwell probably never would have won in the first place. And then the guy fights the Anglo-Dutch Wars and kicks the Dutch's ass. I mean, this guy is one hell of an admiral. But he's
so how come
forgotten.
He's not up there with Nelson?
And that's the because he was a parliamentarian. And once the king, Charles II,
he's not a monarchist.
Right. Once the king, Charles II, gets back, hey, fuck this guy.
Exactly.
He's on the wrong side. We just expunge him like Stalin, you know?
Yeah.
Getting people out of pictures and stuff.
Right,
and getting,
right.
Basically just... Yeah, they blacked this
guy out. Whitewashed off the history book.
Right. So, unfortunately, this guy's never given his
due. So, really, Blake is in Nelson's category,
you're
saying.
Probably better, if not better than Drake.
Damn.
That's
a high accolade.
Yeah, pretty lofty company there. So, Robert Blake, look him up.
I will. But not Beretta.
No, not that, right, yeah.
Oh, unless this Robert Blake also sailed around with a cockatoo on his shoulder. Possible?
No, I don't think so. And his friend wasn't Huggy Bear either.
Right.
But oh yeah.
No, no, that you're now that Starsky and Hutch. You're mixing up your 70s.
Well, it's still not Huggy Bear.
Cop shows, okay?
He didn't drive a Gran Torino either.
No, no. I forget. I used to watch Beretta as a kid.
And he wasn't in a wheelchair. Okay. Well, since we're, you know. Anyway,
how many 70s cop shows are you going to
Well, that was a law show, I guess. And he didn't drink milk. And have Miss America for his his office receptionist.
No, he didn't.
Anyway, he died on the way home from this, by the way.
Blake did?
Yeah, he died on the
way home. Even know which Blake we're talking
Robert
about.
Robert Blake. Yeah, the Robert Blake.
The English one or the Admiral died. So he did. So he's, oh, man.
Yeah, this was his last.
That would have been one for the record books, though. You imagine coming, hauling all that gold into England after what Spain went through to haul it out of the Americas?
From, the Aztecs, Mexico. Well, the Aztecs were gone by then.
But. All right.
Anyway, the guy is not given his due. And then again, I think you missed 1863. It can't be.
No, I got 1861.
Right. This has
got
to be 1589. Yeah, 1689, excuse me. 1688, Glorious Revolution.
Yes.
Right? Kick out James II.
Gone.
William and Mary take over, right?
Right.
Bloodless revolution. Yes. Well, it wasn't exactly bloodless in Ireland because they liked James II in Ireland because he's a Catholic.
Right.
The Irish like their Catholics.
Yeah, St. Patrick.
Plus their poteen. You know what that is. Booze, a little poteen at the Shebeen. And anyway, so he comes back. He says, hey, they like me in Ireland, so I'm going to go over there.
I'll try this out.
And in fact, the major battle was, I think, the big battle in 1690 in Ireland. Don't tell me. But I was going to say Lundy's Lane, but that's 1812. Battle of the Boyne.
Of the Boyne.
Yeah, that was 1690, fought in Ireland. Anyway, he lays siege to Derry because they didn't want him around.
Right.
And there's like eight, because there's a bunch of Protestants there. Half of them died. The siege was, I don't know, 6 months.
Wow.
So it's the Siege of Derry. Check that out.
He sieged a whole county.
Just the city.
Oh, just the city of Derry. Okay.
Yeah. I think the county is Londonderry.
Oh, I got you.
Okay, now you may proceed.
Why do they have counties?
Why do we have counties?
Yeah, but they're inside of a state.
Well, Ulster is six counties, right? Cork.
I guess that's true. Munster is also.
There's six of them.
Yeah. Okay, the American Civil War. We've got 1861 at the beginning. This is the date that Robert E. Lee takes that commission of his from the United States Army and says, no thanks. I'm turning it in. I'm going off.
Yeah, the Union wanted him.
I'm going to represent my state, the state of Virginia, and that will lead to him becoming
a traitor,
the big dog of the Confederate States.
Can you explain to me why he wasn't shot? I mean,
they had respect for him.
Really?
They knew him. He is a classmate. Probably Lincoln, because he said we're gonna welcome back into the fold. We're not gonna.
Well, Lincoln's dead.
Extremely punished.
Lincoln died.
But not on this date.
By the time they got him.
Yeah, that's true. No, but Appomattox, it happened the days before.
Right.
So, you know.
That's true.
Lee rode off from Appomattox before Lincoln is assassinated.
They let him take their swords and their pistols and everything else home with them.
Yeah.
Very generous.
Yeah, he got on his horse.
Hey,
traveler.
Technically,
right?
You sign an oath. I mean, you speak an oath, though, to the Constitution. I think upon entering West Point,
many in that cabinet, felt they were traitors.
Yeah, I know.
Secretary of War.
Thaddeus Stevens
certainly felt they were a traitor.
I'm not saying they deserved it, but, you know, you're throwing people in jail for talking against the Civil War, and here the people that conduct the Civil War get off pretty much scot-free.
Right.
Jefferson Davis.
Habeas corpus suspended.
I think Davis went to jail, though, didn't he? I'd have to
look it up.
For a while. Yeah, Alexander Stevens, these guys are traitors. Now, you know me. I'm on the side of the South.
Why?
To me, Lincoln's a traitor. Why?
Okay.
Because they're exercising their constitutional right to secede.
No, they're exercising their right to slavery.
I've told you that is not the issue the Civil War was fought over.
Every historian will disagree with you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Not the ones on my Kindle.
Okay.
I got some sources for you. What every historian? Which one?
Everything I've ever read.
It was an economic war.
Says, let's be clear, this is fought over slavery.
Not true.
Okay.
Okay.
Point of contention. 1862, Louis Pasteur and Claude Bernard. They uh, They complete an experimentation falsifying a theory, and that theory is spontaneous generation.
Yeah. Well,
bit of science there. Involving Pasteur.
I think what they did, they had two like Erlenmeyer flasks full of broth,
yeah,
which was a nutrient broth, mm-hmm, which they knew was going to grow bacteria.
Right.
They apparently put something in the funnel or something. What do they call those things? Anything. They had an attachment to it. It removed it from one and didn't remove it from the other. The one they removed it from, bacteria grew. The one they didn't, bacteria didn't grow.
They had a control group.
Yeah, right. Which apparently this Claude Bernard, he was like the founder, the father of this control group, blind study kind of stuff. Before that, it was kind of willy-nilly. And this guy was a big scientific experiment, the scientific method.
Well, he's a guy who advances the methodology.
Right. This guy, yeah.
Which is hugely important.
Pasteur was the brains, but this guy was the actual tester.
Technique and tactic that you have to have.
Right, exactly.
Which is you have to have a control group.
Unless it's global warming. Then you don't have
to have it. Stop it.
All right. Yeah, after all these shows.
Do you have every show?
Every show, yeah.
No, I asked
because
you.
Because it's a waste.
I asked you 2 years ago, do you think the Earth is getting hotter? For a year, you wouldn't answer me.
Yeah, for the last 10,000 years. We're in an interglacial.
And it took you a year to answer that. And I said, that's all I want to know.
Okay, yeah, but is it caused by man?
That wasn't my question.
Well, that's the question those idiots ask on that 97%.
But that's not me.
I'm asking you.
I don't know. I'll have to go and read what you've read.
That'll take you about 10 years.
Well, it might. By then, it might be too hot.
All right. Go read a Harlequin romance, okay?
I'd like to do that. I like to.
Yes, and then.
They're always all bosomy on those covers.
Tell your wife to get out of the room and enjoy yourself.
Did the guys never, those guys on those, they never seem to have a shirt.
Well, that's what sells it, baby.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
What, you think it's literature? It's Fabio's picture.
Yeah, it's
the
true.
Hell would read that mulch?
1898, President McKinley decides.
Yeah, this is a great one, too. Okay.
Decides, you know what? It's been about 30 years.
Yeah, let's go back to war.
With the Indians, we've run them off.
Well, it's like, hey, the Europeans are grabbing land all over the place. How can we get in? It wasn't even McKinley so much. This is Teddy Roosevelt.
It is. Time to get in on the game.
Yeah.
A joint resolution. This is when he actually went to Congress before you invaded someplace.
Yeah, we got to give him credit for that.
That's
so quaint.
You got to hand it to McKinley.
Outmoded.
He actually asked the elected officials and followed the Constitution. Because I don't know, when's the last time we had a war we actually did that? World War II?
Maybe.
Yeah, there you go. So a joint resolution in Congress, and it is indeed a declaration of war against Spain. But the war, of course, is fought just south of Florida.
I think the Senate voted to fight Iraq, though. It wasn't a declaration of war.
It wasn't a declaration of war.
Yeah, but they had at least.
Yeah, not a declaration of war. I don't even want to get into the reason why they don't do a declaration of war now.
Who cares? Why declare it anyway? Anyway.
There's reasons. There are certain things
if you declare war, I think that you have different.
You don't get paid on.
Well, that probably is true, too.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
So the Spanish-American War begins, of course.
And ends in a few months.
They use the battleship Maine as a point of provocation.
Which we probably blew up ourselves. I don't know.
Have
you got a good book on that one?
Did. That's a
surreal talk one. I don't know. Those guys don't go into history.
No. They like the supernatural.
What happened to the Maine? Well, maybe it was a poltergeist.
Yeah, maybe
could have been a gamma ray burst.
Probably
nebula, the supernova
came through the Bermuda Triangle.
True enough, that could be it. Anyway, this was a big, and I like McKinley actually. I thought he was a pretty good president.
And then they shot
him for this crap. Well, Chalgosh shot him.
Yeah, a weird guy shot him.
Well, it serves him right for having Tad Lincoln around. You got to put that guy's a jinx. Get him.
Tad.
Out. Yeah.
Robert, it wasn't Robert.
Robert Todd. Well, whatever.
Tad's
Robert
different.
Todd. Okay. I call him Tad.
No. That's not his name. Robert.
Anyway.
Tad. Willie. Right. Willie passed away.
Right.
Okay. In the White House.
And Robert was the jinx.
Maybe.
Well, he never went around a president again after this.
No.
Even he thought he was a jinx.
Well, again, Ted Kennedy factor, right? Stay away. 1902, Pierre and Marie Curie refine radium chloride.
Yeah, killed Pierre.
That's why you hear a lot about Marie Curie.
Hey, remember, have you heard the story about those guys? And they found this radium and they say, hey, this would be great for watches. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's you know, the glow in the dark hands on the watch.
Yes.
But all those guys that were making, because they would paint it on there.
Yeah.
They'd paint the radium on there.
Yeah.
Well, they would tip their tongues.
Right.
And they're all getting tongue cancer.
Tongue cancer.
Yeah. Imagine put that two and two together.
Imagine what happens when you handle.
They thought it was spontaneous generation.
Radioactive substance and put it in your mouth.
Well, nobody knew this stuff. Hell, they're probably swallowing this shit. But, yeah, this looks like it tastes good.
Good note in baseball on this day in history here. April 20th, two very, very iconic stadiums open. One in Detroit, which would be known as Tiger Stadium years later. It also went by the name Briggs Stadium, Nevin Field.
I think that's where Jake LaMotta fought Marcel Cerdan.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Isn't
okay.
that where he got the title?
Well, they did a lot of fights there in Detroit.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah,
they
I've seen the movie, Raging
and,
Bull.
And Detroit Lions also played there as well. Kiss had a huge concert there before the
I missed that
before
one.
The stadium went away. And Fenway Park was opened in Boston on this date in 1912.
What's Gene Simmons' real name? He's got a real Jewish name.
Yeah,
Shmuel
does.
Or something? Shmuel or whatever.
I'd have to look that. You look that up.
Yeah, yeah,
1916, another baseball park opens up. This one on the north side of Chicago on the corner of Addison and
Wait a minute, let me I don't have this. Isn't it was it like Wiegum Park or something like that?
That is correct.
Is that was called
W-E-E-G H-A-M. It opens up.
Is that how you pronounce it?
The
Wiegum?
Chicago. Then now the park has already been opened. Here's the misnomer.
Heimwitz.
Yeah, that's
Heimwitz.
Yeah,
or is it Witz? It's W. So
I
guess
Witz.
It's V.
Witz.
Heimwitz.
Yeah, listen. It's, yeah.
Okay.
Good name. I worked with someone in radio who's on Gene's list. Much
I like him.
Much like your list.
I like Gene Simmons.
So Wiegum, it's not opening day for the park. It's opening day for the Cubs at the park. Wiegum had been opened prior to that for the Federal League. A team called the Chicago Whales played there. The Cubs would move in after the Federal League goes away, and later William Wrigley would buy it. He would rename it, of course, Wrigley Field, still there today.
With many
improvements made, of course. But Wrigley interestingly noted, you know, it's a shame about this baseball. How can we get people to come to the park even if the team is no good?
Yeah, well,
and he worked
that
on
out.
It, and actually he succeeded. And that's part of the reason the Cubs weren't very good for a long time.
His name did too. Well, Bill Veeck did the same thing.
Yeah, Bill Veeck was all promotion.
You have Destroy Disco Night, or what is it, Kill Disco?
Disco Demolition Night.
Now, that was a great idea.
He also was responsible for bringing Eddie Goodell to the plate.
Free beer and stuff. Didn't he give free?
Yes.
That was a good idea.
That didn't work so well.
I like it.
And also, 1918, the Red Baron, also, his real name.
Well, this we should do tomorrow because I think he gets shot down.
He does, and we will memorialize the red one tomorrow. Manfred von Richthofen.
Yeah.
He shoots down number 79 and number 80. His final victories would come on this date in April 20th of 1918.
Yeah.
Of course, he's going to die.
See, this should be
on the 21st.
Well, now you gave it away, but
yeah, but the people tune in again
because they don't know. What I'd always read was the guy after all these air victories and how he's indestructible didn't even look behind him. He got shot down like nothing.
Think he had a death wish? Or
apparently,
something?
Though, no, they think that somebody shot him from the ground. Actually, some guy
took
pot shots from underneath him.
I got a lucky shot.
So there's a big controversy.
I would have liked to have seen one of these things in action, a dogfight of that nature.
Well, they're not that much fun.
I don't know. It would have been interesting to watch one, though, from
it would have been interesting before they had pistols and everything, you know, because they're throwing rocks at each other and shit.
That would have been fun.
Before they figured out
that would have been
fun.
Why
don't I take a machine gun up here?
And put a timer?
Yeah.
Get
and
it
then
to
I'll
fire
shoot my propeller off. Yeah, that's kind of fun. But yeah, throwing shoes at each other.
Do you think there's any chance you would trust that timer?
Well, who would have thought? You know, I don't know. I probably said,
no,
this is great.
No way.
I'm gonna take a machine gun.
Oh, I'm going to take a machine. I'm going to shoot bullets through my propeller, and you're going to tell me the bullets aren't going to hit the propeller.
100 years later, it sounds stupid, but at that time,
good grief.
That thing's going so fast, it can't hit it.
All right. Halfway through our events, let's take a look at who was born. April 20th, here's our birth. Day announcements. 1808, Napoleon III. He'd become the first president of France.
President of the Second Empire,
which
lasted like 1870. And then I don't know why he picked a war with Germany.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, but usually Germany picks wars with you. These guys were itching for it. And he had really not much of an army. Anyway, he's captured at Sedan and abdicated.
They captured him at Sedan.
Yeah. No, that was a big loss. That was a big one. So anyway, this guy was he still, I think, has the record, though. He even served longer than De Gaulle. I
mean,
this guy started in like 1848. And he went till 1870.
Yeah, he died in 1873.
Second Republic, French Second. We're in the fifth now.
Another French.
Hey, what about, speaking of the French?
Well, their election's coming up, baby.
Who's going to win?
Le Pen. Le Pen's going to win.
I don't know. But they don't think she can win the runoff. That's the top two have a runoff.
She will be in the top two.
Yeah, well, it's going to be her, and it might be that crazy leftist. Maricon?
There's a couple crazy leftists.
Maricon, not Maricon. That's something. What is that?
Malenchon, the one who's married his school teacher.
Macron. Macron.
Now, I think, which one married the school teacher who's 20 years his elder? Because he's 39 years old and he has seven step-grandchildren.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. This is for real.
That's like Hollande, you know? I mean,
yes.
That guy, he's got to decide on which mistress he wants to see every day.
You know what Hollande's popularity rating is?
About 7%.
4.
Yeah.
I just saw that last night.
Well, his party's like
4.
They're not even the top 4.
4.
Yeah, but he's got a good-looking girlfriend.
Yeah. So did the one prior to that.
Yeah, he's got more than one, actually. But
so,
anyway. So you're putting your money on Le Pen, huh? I hope so. Well, you know, both she and the leftists both want to get out of the euro.
Well, I think that's coming regardless.
I hope it is.
I think that's coming regardless.
Man, that'd be great.
I'm not saying I support Le Pen. I'm just thinking this
she's big time right and he's big time left. But it's like Bernie Sanders and Trump all over again.
It's a mirror. And the French are saying the same thing. Oh, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way.
You want to bet?
Okay.
Right.
Couple more incidents in France, and we'll see how those voters go to the polls.
You know what the percentage of Muslims is in France?
It's very high. It's over 20%, I think.
Well, I don't know, 20. I think it's like 9. It's the highest in the EU. I don't think it's over 10%.
You don't think it's over 10?
No, I don't think so.
I thought their immigration
20%,
policy.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but okay. What are you counting though? Because if I count Algerian,
That doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
If they're living in France, but Algeria.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But they've been there for generations now.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that. Okay, I'm going to say it's 9%. You're saying 20?
I'm saying as high as 20.
I don't know about that. Okay, keep going. I'm looking it up.
1840, another French painter and illustrator.
5 to 7%.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah,
okay, I stand corrected.
But it still has the largest number of Muslims in Western Europe.
Do we count Algerians from?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, I'd be interested. I'd be interested because they swelled the population at some points with their immigration policies.
Okay, well, let's get moving. I got a patient at 11.
1840, Redon, the French painter and illustrator, is born.
Who?
Redon. Odilon Redon.
Oh, you're telling me you've heard of this guy?
Yeah.
Where have you heard of this guy?
He's because I like French art.
All right, I'll check it out.
Yeah. 1889, here's a guy you heard of.
I think I've heard of this guy.
Adolf Hitler's born.
Is that good news?
It's funny to see who shares a birthday with him.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. This next guy I like a lot better.
I know. Harold Lloyd, 1893. Yeah. Actor, comedian, producer.
Here's another guy that's kind of lost.
He's overshadowed.
Like Robert Blake. But in the 20s, this guy made more money than Keaton or Chaplin.
Yeah, he was the big dog, right?
Well, he made more movies. This guy was always working, and he was very smart with his money. A couple things, though. He built his home called Green Acres. You'll see it if you watch Westworld. You know, I think it was medieval world, but the other one, that Roman world.
Roman world.
And you'll also see it in The Godfather, because that's where Waltz lived.
Oh, that's it?
That's Harold Lloyd's house. Yeah. Where
that's
they do
really
the externals.
Cool. That's really
exteriors.
Cool.
That, yeah. And then, you know, he was real smart. The thing that he kind of didn't make a good move was he didn't give his movies, because he had ownership of his movies.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't give them to television, so he wasn't seen for a long time, which kind of hurt his posterity.
See, he got the Q rating way down.
Yeah, but he didn't care, because after his movie career was over, pretty much destroyed by the talkies, not because he didn't talk, it was just his talkies sucked. Basically, he's turned to photography.
Yeah,
he liked to do nudes.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I know, but he was right on, and he liked to... Yeah, he liked to sleep with his models.
Models, yeah.
Good for him.
Seems to be a theme among.
Right on, brother.
1893, born on the same day. Juan Miro, the Spanish painter and sculptor. Yes, I've heard of him. I enjoy his
work. I've heard
of
him. I don't like it. It's like,
I like it. I like it.
It's like crap.
1920,
He did the World Trade Center tapestry, though, that was destroyed.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That was a big thing he did.
Because, he passed away in 1983. So at the end of his career, he was...
Oh, he lived a long time.
He was still
guy.
Doing things.
Never did learn how to paint, but he lived a long time.
1920, John Paul Stevens.
This guy's still around.
Yeah.
here again, I mean, only Republicans are dumb enough. Like a guy like Ford is the only guy dumb enough to put this guy on the court. A liberal. What? Way to go, Jerry.
1923, mother.
Playing football without his helmet again.
Well, Jerry's not, that's not even his real name.
Leslie Lynch King.
Leslie Lynch
King.
The third. 1923, Mother Angelica, your nun and broadcaster and the founder of the Eternal Word Television Network.
Oh, if you say so.
No, I do.
Amy Semple McPherson, I guess.
I do say so. Indeed, I do.
TV.
And in 1923, this gentleman.
Is he a drummer?
I think he's a drummer. Hmm. His name's Tito Puente. You may have heard of him. Famous American drummer, producer. Born in 1923, passed away in 1920. And you've heard a lot of his work, but I wanted to just play something where it's Tito drumming and not the whole band behind him.
Well, he's no John Bonham.
Well, hold on now. Hold on.
All right.
A lot of the drummers will tell you they're influenced by some of the guys like this. Listen to it.
Yeah, well, I was influenced by William Shatner, but I'm a better actor.
Are you?
Okay.
Well, you might be, actually.
Spock.
You might be. Speaking of that, that's coming up. Oh, no.
Yeah,
speaking
of, that's
coming
why I brought
up
this
right
up.
Now.
Yeah.
Look at you, Mr. Segway.
Uh-huh.
Happy birthday, George Takei, born in 1937.
I'm a little sick of this guy, too. Will he shut his big mouth?
He's all over media.
What's with him?
He's cashing in. He's cashing in.
Man, oh, man. I think he hates Shatner, didn't he?
Well,
I think those two guys didn't get along.
Here's a scene, though. Here's a scene where Takei, well, not Takei, but Sulu, finally is in charge of the Enterprise.
I owe them my life a dozen times over, and right now they're in trouble, and I'm going to help them. Let the regulations be damned.
That sounds like you.
Sir, the most illogical line of reasoning.
You better believe it.
That's not what I want to hear.
Engage.
Engage.
Why don't you put him on from Green Berets?
George Takei from
Kill Green Berets. Kong. Remember, he sounds like
because
he means
it's racist.
Oh,
why.
I love that. I love that little speech he's got. I go home too.
Yeah.
That I kill all Kong. He sounds like he means it. And they go, what happened to Nim? He bought the farm, sir, but he
bought
took a lot of them with him. That's why, like in I think it's season two, you got to check off and all those.
Yeah.
And Sulu's not around.
Yeah.
He was filming because
he's
Green
filming
Berets.
Green Berets. You know what buy the farm means?
Well, dying is what the cliche is.
Yeah, but you know how that term came to be.
No.
Well, it's interesting. I had to look this up because for years I'm like, what
make it
the
brief.
Heck? Well, you had a policy on you if you were a soldier. So if you did die during war, the policy generally was enough that your parents could pay off their debt, which generally was
the
a farm or house.
Sounds
and
like
the term became he bought the farm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was Sulu's first name?
I don't know.
Well, they got his middle name. I know this. Hikaru Kato Sulu.
Hikaru?
Hikaru. I knew that.
Kato.
Kato.
Kato?
Yeah, Kato.
Not Kato?
Not Klato Niktu Barata. How does that go?
I don't know.
Didn't you watch The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yeah, once.
Klato Barata Niktu or whatever. Remember she had to say that, turn off the robot with the zipper in the back? Well, they had two costumes. One had the zipper in the front,
good.
One had the zipper in the back.
1941, Ryan O'Neal.
Passable.
Decent actor.
Passable actor.
Made a great daughter.
Yeah.
Boy.
She's the one that won the Academy Award.
And married Farrah Fawcett, so he did okay. 1949, Jessica Lange. I love her. I swear to God, I love her. Armand, if you have not watched American Horror Story, let me give you a little taste of how juicy Jessica Lange's characters are in this. Here's some of her just best, bitchiest lines. You ready?
So, Anne Frank, is it? What a relief it'll be to millions of school children to know you survived.
Who would you like to call, Miss Winters? The American Civil Lesbians Union?
Well, I appreciate it. I'm not usually much of a cupcake girl myself, but...
They're not for you. At your age, you might as well just crazy glue a stick of butter to your ass.
What was that from?
American Horror Story.
Oh.
Jessica Lange is the main antagonist, and she just nails it.
Right.
Oh, it's worth watching just
like
for her.
She won the Academy Award for, what was that, Blue something, a film that came out like a couple of...
It wasn't too long ago.
No, it came out, but it was like a couple, 3 years after they made it. All right. It was Blue something.
Then in 19...
Blue Jasmine, I think.
Yeah, okay. 1961, Don Mattingly.
Yeah, good hitter. Is he still managing?
He had been managing the Dodgers, right. But not anymore.
Okay.
1962, Hank the Angry Dwarf.
Who?
They don't talk.
Hank the Angry Dwarf. You don't know Hank the Angry Dwarf?
Is he a guy in Bad Santa?
No.
Okay, well.
He's of Howard Stern fame.
Oh, okay.
Here's Hank and Beetlejuice getting into an argument before they go on the show. That's Beetlejuice.
What's he so angry about?
Because he's always drunk. He's an angry drunk. That's Beetlejuice. Hank's a little scared of him. So good.
Well, I guess if I were a little person. I didn't know Jessica Lange was married to Baryshnikov.
Yes.
And Sam Shepard. I'll be damned.
She did well. She did well. Two interesting dudes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Two interesting dudes. I guess I loved her in Tootsie. That was.
Now, she won for that. I know that. She won Best Supporting. But I thought, Frances. Well, no, she didn't win for – nominated for Frances.
For Frances. Okay.
Blue Sky. There it is.
There it is.
Blue Sky. Academy Award, 1994. Blue Sky. There it is. All right. Damn.
All right. This gentleman who – this is probably his most – now, he's known as George McFly from Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
But Crispin Glover, the American actor. And this is the legendary appearance on The Late Show.
Is this the first time you've seen another guy drown? Is this the first time you've watched a guy die?
Is that you're talking about you or
him? Yeah, no, me.
This is the other thing they said. Crispin Glover was pinstriped and greased.
The hell, the internet just stopped.
All right, whatever. What was that all about?
Oh, this is you don't know your pop culture,
some
Armand.
People are turned on by Brill Cream.
It's one of the great moments in Letterman's history.
I don't have these.
You seem to be distraught.
They don't.
You seem to be distraught.
People try to make me sound a lot weird, and yeah. I'm strong, you know? I'm strong. I can arm
He's
wrestle.
Weird.
Do you want to arm wrestle?
No.
I've taken part. These aren't mine. I can kick.
Okay.
Is this an actor? Is this guy really nuts?
Letterman walks off.
I'll be back.
Says, I got to go check on the top 10 list. Here's the thing. With Letterman's show, you never knew. You never knew if these were put – because every so often, Letterman would have someone come out and it would go completely bizarre.
Yeah, like that comic book guy that played was played by American – whatever was it? Remember that movie?
American Splendor is the movie.
American Splendor,
and Paul Giamatti played him, but Harvey
– he lost his marbles.
Harvey would go on there and try to sell stuff. And then he would go on there and just rankle Dave, and eventually it just went all south.
Yeah, that last one. Yeah, that one went.
Right, but Farrah Fawcett had her blow up on the Late Show.
What was her problem?
Oh, she completely lost it one night, and Madonna had a blow up. Was it Shirley MacLaine? Ever so often, Letterman's show had something that completely got the world's attention, but you never quite knew if it was real or not. And I'll tell you why. Because the first time he did it, you know who he did it with? When he had his thing that really got national attention? You don't remember this?
I don't know.
He did it
first.
He did it with Jerry Lawler.
Oh, the Andy
and
Kaufman.
And Andy Kaufman.
Well, I didn't know it was the first thing, but I remember
that. And
that
was all staged.
Yeah, right.
The whole thing was staged.
Okay.
The whole thing. But Letterman did get to deliver the great line, hey, you can do a lot of things on TV, but you cannot throw coffee at people.
Oh. Who's throwing coffee at somebody?
Kaufman threw coffee at Lawler.
Oh, well, they got out of hand.
Yeah. So
the King.
Mm-hmm. That's Crispin.
All right.
And also Carmen Electra. You probably enjoy her work.
I don't know what it is.
Sure you do. Go Google Carmen Electra. All right, 1945, back to the events. We got Hitler again, the Fuhrer Bunker. Well, Adolf, he makes his last trip to the surface. He goes up to the surface on his birthday, and he hands out some Iron Crosses to the boy soldiers of the Hitler Youth. I can't confirm that Joey Ratz was one of the guys who got a medal.
Now, see, you're taking a shot at
my
Pope.
Yeah, you're Pope. Okay.
Yeah, not that Argentinian screwball.
No, the Pope Francis, the one who really is the Pope. Yeah, no, you're right. Taking a shot. 1946. Now, Armand, you'll enjoy this. League of Nations officially dissolves. But alas,
wow, that's too bad. It was so successful.
It gives its powers over to the United Nations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You won't enjoy that at all.
Which was even better. Yeah, that's wonderful.
1972, Apollo.
And we've had peace ever since.
Apollo 16 with Commander John Young lands on the moon on April 20th. 16 went well. 15, 14.
We may never get back.
13. I still say 13 was a huge success.
Yeah.
And 12.
He's about as successful as Pope asshole. Oh,
you're going straight to hell for that.
Yep.
1999 is the tragic Columbine massacre.
What got into these kids, man?
I don't know. I won't even say their names to this day. I really won't.
Oh, okay. We don't have to.
13 people killed, 24 injured. The two shooters then commit suicide. And this, I don't, you know, this wasn't the start of it, but boy, this seems like it was the one that really sort of, I don't know, Armand, how do you even say this?
Did it break the dike?
Because from that day forward, school shootings
are
a thing.
Yeah. I don't know. These guys.
When you were in school, did you ever dream of someone walking into your school and opening up with a gun?
Well,
I never did.
We were wondering where we could smoke dope without getting caught.
But I mean, even in grade school, middle school, high school, this thought never crossed my mind.
Well, I don't have a problem with teachers having pistols, tell you the truth. Ugh. Okay, what are you going to do? Are you going to have cops there then? Somebody's got to have a gun around here.
Well, no, security.
Right.
Security, trained personnel.
I think you have. Do they have it now? I don't know.
A lot of high schools do.
Well,
a lot of high schools do. Yes, they do. They do. But they do.
I mean, I don't know.
And it's costly. It's a cost, man.
It's a but
you have 1,300 kids plus in some of these high schools. Some high schools, Armand, have as many as 3,000 young adults in them.
I'm more worried about knives and stuff than that.
Well, that's a legitimate worry too.
I remember I was in high school. Kid got knifed. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it happened.
2008, Danica Patrick, first female driver to win an IndyCar race. She won it over in Japan, the Indy 300. She won it on – I remember watching the – it was a gas mileage play.
Okay.
She outlasted everybody on gas mileage. It's smart, her crew, but her crew won
her. So are you putting an asterisk by this?
No.
You're sexist?
It's a team win.
Hey, what does it matter? Because there's no difference between men and women, right? We know that.
It's a team win.
No.
In race car driving?
But it doesn't matter. The point is, right? There's no such thing as a man and woman. They're the same thing. It's whatever you project yourself to be.
No. There are genders. We are just coming.
Really?
Yes, there are, Armand. And we are coming.
Did you get that from the Pope?
We are coming to terms with
lunacy.
No.
Sheer lunacy.
No, we're not. No, we're coming to terms with maybe there's more than two genders.
Yeah, there's like eight.
Well, I don't know how many. I don't know.
That is ridiculous on the face. What do you mean there's more than two genders? Scientifically, there's two genders.
Well, purely.
Well, that's what we're going by, purely. And there's no such thing as race by science, biologically. Okay.
Right.
So why do we have that?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's a construct. 2010, the Deepwater Horizon. Yeah, it explodes. Yeah.
Well,
exploded real good.
Yeah.
And killed
after it got a after
now, here's
got
what's
a
overlooked.
Very strong health bill of health.
I know it,
because people that were regulating it were watching
porn.
Stop. What do you mean stop? It's
because,
the government.
Because you're overlooking.
You're going to blame BP.
No, you're overlooking one thing. And everyone overlooks this. You're guilty of it. I'm guilty of it.
Hey.
11 people were killed by this explosion.
Okay, right. All right.
As you said, it had gotten a clean bill of health.
Right.
There's your tragedy to that. This day, 7 years later,
they're still dead.
I never hear the 11 people who perished mentioned.
Right, but that's the point. What is the government doing about it? Who regulates the regulators? What do we pay all this money for, supposedly? And they can't even see this coming because it's incompetence. I'm
not posing an argument.
Well, no, but what's the answer? Obama's answer is close down all the offshore drilling. That's smart.
I'm sorry. Let's go to 1769. Wrapping it up with who died on this day.
Somebody's got to die today, right?
Well, Chief Pontiac died.
Yeah, he was kind of a traitor, though. I mean,
and yeah, he has an odd history, right? Because
they don't know how to figure this guy out.
He played it both ways.
Yeah, he fought against the French. Then he fought
with the French,
and killed a lot of British,
which was good for us.
Yeah, but I guess he was a great little organizer. He was like J. Robert Oppenheimer. He got everybody, you know, he's a community organizer like Mr. Obama.
Well, I think, is this where Tecumseh tries to pick up the ball and go with it? Because like you said, Pontiac tries to organize the Native American tribes.
Yeah, this is what, a pretty good job.
This is what Tecumseh will come to about.
Well, it's late, 50 years later, something like that.
Yeah, 30 to 40 years later. Right, right. And Pontiac is revered, obviously, for two reasons. One, there's a town named after him.
And a car.
When a car that originally was not Pontiac. Do you know the original name of the Pontiac Motor Company?
No.
Oakland.
Oh, I like that better.
Named for Oakland, Michigan, a little town.
There's no there there.
Well, it's a suburban Detroit now. But I always wondered how Chief Pontiac, if he would come back to think that his legacy is really wrapped up in a Trans Am and a GTO.
Well, who, Pontiac?
Yes.
Well, they had other cars. You know.
No, I mean, come on. How could he even conceive of such a thing? That, hey.
I doubt he did.
Chief Pontiac,
then.
Your name will be known 250 years from now. That's wonderful. Wow. I must really have achieved something. Yes, you achieved 455 horsepower in a Super Duty engine.
You see that new? What is that? Is that new? Isn't that a new Trans Am? It's got like 1,000 horsepower or something.
Yeah, there's a company that converts. They convert the new Camaro into a Trans Am kit. Well, it's to make it look like what a Trans Am would look like if they still made them, because Pontiac's been out of business since what, 09?
I guess. 10? I don't know. You're the car guy.
Yeah, and they have a supercharger on it, so it gets you 1,000 horsepower.
All right. Well, which fix is, my car. It's knocking.
Which is about 700 more horsepower than anyone possibly needs to be driving around. 1912, Bram Stoker passed away. Now, of course, he's famous for Dracula.
Yeah. Well, he didn't create Count Dracula. Well, I guess he did.
He didn't create Count Dracula.
He wrote the book.
The book is not called Count Dracula. It's called Dracula.
Although up to the very end, it was called The Undead.
Which is a great name. Great name. But really what he is? Really what Bram Stoker is?
Not much.
He's a romance writer of no real renown at all.
Or talent, but
yeah.
Okay.
1992. When I grew up in Armand, before cable TV, this little here show was as risque as you could get. And don't tell me for a second that you and your buddies didn't sit and watch the Benny Hill show.
Yeah, waiting for some girl's top to fly off.
Yes.
He had his moments, but we call scatological humor.
Totally. He was a genius.
Well, I remember a line.
He came out to start a show one night and said, "I apologize for it being very hot here in the studio." And the crowd's like, "But we're going to have a naked lady in the studio." And the crowd burst.
Yeah, right. He's not exactly Buster Keaton, but he's funny.
No.
I like it. But like I said, he had, you know, naked women with big tits. How can you miss?
No, he knew what the audience wanted.
Sure. Gave it to us.
My final death, unless you have anyone else.
Yeah, I got plenty.
1999, Rick Rude, the American wrestler and sportscaster.
Well, same day as the Columbine thing.
Same
huh?
day.
All right,
same
day as Columbine. I got other ones that I
now,
think.
Now, who did I omit?
Well, first of all, you omitted Mae Bush, who, another one of the reasons I've never been married. If you've ever seen Sons of the Desert or several Laurel and Hardy movies, she plays the shrewish wife that's, you know, hitting Ollie with a rolling pin and pots and pans. And see Sons of the Desert, you'll get a divorce. Well, you'll never get married. So anyway, that's...
It'll prevent you.
Yeah, right.
Save you the divorce.
She and Betty Davis kept me from getting married. Don Siegel, who was... Don Siegel, director.
Yeah.
He was actually the editor. He did the montage sequence in Casablanca, but he was...
the Paris
Yeah,
montage?
All that stuff. Right. Yeah, that was... And he did a lot of movies, but that was what his job was. You'll see his credit a lot. Montage by Don Siegel.
Interesting.
But then, of course, he directed Dirty Harry, and he was like Clint Eastwood. I think he dedicated Unforgiven to him because he was his mentor. Mentor to Sam Peckinpah.
Oh,
yeah, so this guy was
tall grass, baby.
But he also did the original, which is a better one, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm, yeah,
which was, you know,
I like so it because I like that one, Armand, because of its starkness.
Yeah, well, here and here you'll like this quote: "I'm a whore. I work for money. It's the American way." Right on, Don. So there, I can't think of a better way to end the show. because I asked him, you know, what do your movies mean or something? My movies mean nothing. I'm a whore. I work for
American. Everyone does something they don't want to do for money.
About that.
Everybody.
So
we're
you agree with my hypothesis.
Guilty of it.
Okay, so you agree with my hypothesis though that virtually any woman is going to carry a baby to term if given enough money. And you know, here's what she said because she. Here's
I don't agree with their hypothesis because it assumes that A, all women are capable of carrying to term. They may not be.
Well, we're not talking about, you know, crack babies and things
like
that.
I get it.
I'm talking about if and that's the example I use. A healthy woman is, say, a 16-year-old girl, and she goes, well, there's such a stigma about getting pregnant. She doesn't want her parents to know. Are you out of your mind in this day and age? There's not that big of a stigma. What would you say if you're one of your daughters came and said, I got pregnant, I'm not married?
It'd be a disappointment.
Right.
It's not the end of the world.
Exactly.
First of all, no one goes
but
away.
It's not Victorian England.
No one goes away on a 9-month trip to Switzerland.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That, you know, those
nobody jumps in front of a train like Anna Karenina anymore.
Those things do
this
not happen.
Yeah, right. But so that's why I said
there are plenty of alternatives and solutions.
Right. Well, and she brought up, which is, I think is the example, which proves my point. Wasn't it Elton John and his gay husband?
Oh, his husband.
They adopted somebody, right? And
yes.
I have no problem with that. But you know damn well they paid a lot of money for it.
Well, adoption's very expensive.
Exactly.
I've had friends that have...
Because she couldn't have a child.
I've a lot of friends of mine who we have children the same age.
Yeah.
A lot come from Belarus and other parts of Russia.
Right, that's where they go, to Guatemala.
China.
Friends,
Kazakhstan was
okay.
One.
Yeah.
But
why? They can't get them here, right?
I don't know.
There's a shortage here.
I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. If you could sell your baby, listen, I'm pregnant. I want to sell my baby. Give me some offers. Isn't that better than aborting the baby?
Yeah, but then you're manufacturing babies.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's a big problem either.
You're getting into a weird area there, though.
Well,
because then, you know what you're doing then? Then you're getting into dog breeder territory.
Well, I didn't say you.
I'd like a purebred.
Nah, see, I don't know about that. Now we're going to talk about eugenics and
That'll creep in, Armand. It'll creep in.
I think that's creeping in anyway. They're doing engineering on these kids already, but that's not going to do anything. That's not going to hasten that.
There will always be a black market.
There'll be designer babies soon. That's coming.
Dude, there already have been.
Okay. But what does that do?
Go stroll around a rich mall.
What am I going to see?
Besides, go to Naples, Florida.
Okay.
You'll see it. Oh. I mean, it's people who have matched up with each other strictly based on on looks and health.
Right. Well, look at me.
Yeah.
I only date beautiful women because I'm beautiful.
Oh.
Haven't you noticed?
Come on. This has been going on for centuries. For centuries.
All right.
For millennia.
So, in other words, I guess I'm ugly because I've been dating dogs lately.
No, I mean, but right. It's a slippery slope, Armand. It is.
All right, so let it slip. Who cares?
Who cares?
Hey, I'm the guy, you're the science guy, right? If science goes this way, whose morality are we talking about here? Really? I mean, what is this morality? Listen,
Should
I be allowed to sell my kidney if I want to sell it for $200,000? Or is that a slippery slope, too? And we only got a few minutes. I got a patient waiting.
I'm trying to think of a...
You want to come back tomorrow?
You got an extra kidney.
Yeah. You got a testicle. I want to sell my testicle. I don't know if anybody wants it, but for $100,000, you can have it. Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, we're moving towards this stuff.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're just going to be regenerating kidneys.
Well, maybe. But even then, they're talking about having people, like, making bodies... purely for parts.
Yeah, I know.
Cloning people. You know,
I know.
I'd have a problem with that.
Okay, but what
moralists
if
the, do.
What if that's a sentient being?
Well, don't make them sentient.
Okay, well. How about this? Can we just regrow the parts? When a car needs a new part, you don't build a new car. You build the part.
That's true. But, you know, eventually, hopefully, we'll have 3D printing of livers and stuff. But
exactly.
With stem cells and whatever,
so
if we want to harvest stem cells.
Let's get there. And try to avoid the calamity
of cloning
all of us and designing human beings.
But wouldn't you agree that any of these things would be better than abortion, which is the alternative a woman has at this point?
What would be better than abortion is for unwanted pregnancies not to occur.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
I know. It's not.
Okay.
That's,
sure.
And that's one of the things that the anti-abortion crowd, God bless them, because you and I, I think we're both in agreement here. We're not.
I don't really have a problem with abortion. But
we're not for it. We're not yay, 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 go get it. That's not us.
Right.
That's not us. But for human, for the...
All I'd say is it's got to be in the first trimester. That's all. Because by then...
You're negotiating then.
Okay.
You're negotiating.
Yeah, but that's the question is, when does it become a human being?
Well, that...
If you're selling body parts, which they're doing already, they have that documented, that to me is a being. If you're selling, you know, livers, well... So there's got to be some limit on when you can do this. Now, the abortion people, the pro-choice people, think up to the minute it's delivered. And even if you botch the abortion, you can still kill it. Well,
yeah,
that's the argument.
I've never agreed with that.
Well, I don't either.
I've never agreed with that.
There's got to be some point. You know, we have laws about everything else. This is it. You cannot abort after 20 weeks or whatever, 15.
Here, on that topic.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know how I got it. Well, my lousy date, because of your
personal life.
Yes.
My
sordid personal life.
The best thing to do is seriously take away the incentive to
abort.
No, take away the incentive to A, abort, and B, or no, A, get pregnant, and B, abort.
Yeah, but the incentive to get pregnant is, I don't know, that's ineradicable.
Yeah, but it's also a lot of miseducation there, statistically.
You got kids, they want to have sex.
Yes, you do. That does not mean they have to
result in a pregnancy. They're going to put on a condom.
There's other things. We all know it.
There's all kinds. But their kids, they're not. By definition, they're not.
I know. It's still going to happen.
An adult?
You can reduce it. You can reduce it.
I don't know about that. Okay. All right. I'm a whore. I work for Don Siegel.
We all are. We all are, Armand. We all are.
Yes.
There's no question. April 20th is in the books. Thank you, Armand Kachigian. Hey, don't forget, subscribe to our podcast. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean. Any of those will do. And if you would be so kind, leave us a 5-star review. And please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast.com. When April 21st rolls around, we will be right here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.